Welcome to Arcane Recovery.
Yeah!
Where it is time to recover after these two episodes.
Welcome to Arcane Recovery, where it is 11:09 p.m. Let's be so clear about that.
At night.
Oh, yeah, as opposed to 11:09 p.m. In the morning.
No, because we're so off our normal bed,
because we're typically like,
it was redundant since I already said p.m.
I was just having fun.
Anywho, this is a after talk show that we talk about all of our thoughts, our feelings, emotions, and there were a lot of emotions for these past two episodes.
No, I don't think there were.
Let's get into this.
That was like two. Yeah.
Let's put your heart on the table and spill it all.
I don't remember these highlights.
Jake, put that back where it belongs.
Oh my god.
Madam Sarah. Madam Sarah.
From the Indiana Jones movie.
Oh yeah. Out of the two episodes that we recorded today, who wants to start with their favorite part?
Heath.
I made Gail laugh, and that made me really happy.
That was a really sweet.
That was a really sweet.
That made
moment.
Me like so happy. I was like, I'm locked in. I know where I want my SIG to be.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. I think that was really like a really good team bonding moment.
I know.
I got to do the thing I wanted to do right after I said I did the thing I was gonna do.
I did the thing.
I wanted to show Gail that they matter and they were part of the team, and then I got to.
I know. I feel like it's a tiny moment, but just the way y'all approached it and the laughing that it's the tiniest thing, and it feels really indicative of like where I want to go next. I don't know. It helped me a lot. I'm like, oh,
I was getting like Big Brother energy, and I was like, I'm loving this. This is awesome.
It was very like having a bunch of siblings be like, hey,
yeah,
okay. it was comforting. I don't think Gail has had a lot of that, and that's. I mean, the whole thing was special to them. Anyway, now I'm just rambling from Keith's moment, but yes.
Yeah.
Oi, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Hands off each other.
No.
He started it. No. He did it first.
I did it lightly first.
They have been slowly taking a sticker and just slamming it against each other's arms for those at home. All right,
who's next?
I guess I'm next because I'm next in the order.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
It was the magistrate.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. That was my favorite part. sorry. Let me restart.
You're good.
I had a plan.
You did.
I did. Mm-hmm. No collar. I had a plan for a bit, and it was going to be great.
Ooh.
And then I couldn't do it. Because
you
went right back on.
No,
because I might do it later.
Oh, so,
okay. Yeah.
But I had a plan. But my favorite part is that I managed to implement part of it with my late night talk to myself. That's part of what I was going to do, but there was a lot more to it.
Okay.
I was proud of myself for being able to fit it in there somewhere. I wanted to do I did it. And it was a little bit of a lore drop. I did a little bit of a different lore drop later on. Completely separate lore drop, but no one picked up on it, so I'm not going to say what it was.
I loved it nonetheless.
Jake, I hate you.
Now we just got to listen back to the episode.
Luckily, we do get to do that.
It was a very, very throwaway line, very minor. But I think
Jake says.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I really liked the moment where we all like exploded like all together at the end of episode 11. Because it feels like for the past few episodes, we've been building to that point ever since getting into this new part of the district. Because we have not had a break. We've been constantly getting these things thrown on us. And then Brian having the collar undone and then getting a new collar. And then all of us taking all that stuff in. I shot a cannon through our building. It was a cool way of just like that explosion happening and then coming back to us at our core whether that also is like gathering some more lore from either like Sig or Gael. Like it was cool. Or even Brian's lore, like even our lore, we had a little bit of that come in. And yeah. like some with Nyssa and I hope Annika's okay.
But Annika's perfectly fine.
But it was cool to see that release finally, because it felt like we were building to that point and we were like mm-hmm. really tense. And then that was just the gasket that exploded. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I also like Barry. Barry was funny.
Barry was very good.
I wonder who was Barry. I don't know where he went.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick a favorite moment. I don't know.
I know.
I think something that like affected me was, and I didn't realize it in the moment, but I think that Brian protecting Lycan really affected me. Because I don't think I realized how much that relationship had developed. I don't think Lycan really thinks of Brian as actually very close to her, even though she has no problem climbing on him all the time. Mm-hmm. But knowing that Brian was trying to protect Lycan, and Lycan was trying to do that in turn, but the sigil thing was going on, so she couldn't do anything, which that sucked. Mm. But
oh, I'm incredibly intrigued by glasses as well. My goodness.
I thought it was a nickname. Like, oh yeah, that's all glasses over there. I didn't realize it was the actual name.
No, I was also thinking, ah yes, glasses on your face.
It would be funny if he had glasses. Excited to see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even later when he's protecting protecting Lycan from the explosion Leo might cause. I was like, that's really mm-hmm. sweet. Yeah. Well, I mean, I also really loved loved in the strange that way that one can the like explosion. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cathartic, honestly, at least for me, but also like a lot emotionally. I was vibrating out here, just like lots of energy. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Adam. I think it was a really necessary like bit of expression of what we've been building to, and I think it also shows a real commitment to the storytelling that we all have. Mm-hmm. My other to say something new is getting to talk with Iago mm-hmm. in the house, because I really don't know what to do with this guy, because he's so like, there's things that he does that are so like sus and so
makes my manipulative skin crawl.
Like yeah, skin crawly, but then he'll do things that are nice and he'll say things that are right, and he's like I did not expect him to be like, ah yeah, I can get you to talk to Carmos. I was like mm-hmm.
Excuse?
And now I'm like, oh, that's brought up so many ideas in my brain with what I want to do with that. So I think that's such an, like, what an interesting character that I cannot fully put my finger on what he's all about. And Gael can't. And I think that's both intriguing and distressing for them. Anyway, but there's a lot of nuance there that I find mm-hmm. really fantastic.
He sounds like the Wizard of Oz to me. Like I'm
yes!
waiting for
yeah. That's a great comparison.
Tears revealed with his play. Like I just yeah.
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 That is waiting a fantastic that. Freaking comparison.
Yeah. yeah.
Fantastic comparison. Mm. Yeah.
Fair. I have two like random one's a goofy one. I love Barry, and I love like just that it, we were joking about it, but just the image of Barry getting swallowed whole by a dumpster like that scene is just ingrained in my head. I'm like, damn, that would have been like crazy if that happened.
Yeah, but it was go on without like no combat this time.
Yeah,
dumpster.
Yeah,
no!
It was just, it was one of those moments where like it really felt like we were just having a good time. I was that's funny as hell. And then obviously, I mean, we all agree in terms of like that big blow up was crazy and super fun to navigate with everyone. I think my personal favorite moment was when I was getting to like say some stuff and Jake and I locked eyes. Like there was a moment where like I think I was talking to Brian as Nyssa and we locked eyes and like things were so tense
And like, but like, I yeah. felt very connected with you for some reason, like in that moment of that, mm-hmm. like we both understood each other's like sides, but like we knew there was fundamental disagreements yeah. in the characters. And that was just so interesting to like see that we were like on it on the same level. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that was just an interesting moment. I thought it was a cool connection moment. I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved all of them. Probably one of my, there's two that I would really want to point out. One of them is Elxidor. And it was a very small moment, but him reading Orange Journal was really eye-opening for him. And it was because of how Orn was an intern to Lucient Veltara. He felt very connected with that and see kind of the journey that he went down to be like, yeah, like he's like, yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat too. Like I want to be this like lead investigator for the city, and Lucian Moonwhisper in my district is helping me, you know, get to that point. And, you know, being a part of Little Guy Private Eye is one of those things. So just seeing how like another aspect of life, like a different route that was taken, to just to read that for himself, he was like, "Ooh, it was really interesting for him." And then the second thing that's probably my most favorite that I've gotten to do for these two games and the other two games that I ran as well is just the human NPC interaction you have with all of them, of how this, like, how does this city feel to you guys? Or how does the Tolona district feel with all the interactions and different aspects of life you've gotten to interact with?
It's pretty, like, real. It feels like the city's pulsing. Like, it has a heartbeat, and, like, different people are doing different things, whether it's the spice salesman or it's the changeling that is a weird single business of just themselves going in and out of a place, mm-hmm. or the museum having the fake holy book with, like, the fates.
Oh, that like pissed me off so bad. Oh my
God. Just a bunch of different things sprinkled around to get little details to give us like, oh, it's like a theme park for us to go to.
Yeah.
I feel like the right word for it is like dissonant.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's a great word for it.
Like, oh, if everyone agrees on the same thing, it turns out that everything is actually quite boring.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. having people who are like kind of scamming us is fun with the like the fate book, or like people who need to make money. Like it's the same kid. We've seen this kid before. He's just trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And like, of course I'm gonna help him out. And then like the one shopkeep in the front of that building, the oddity, getting basically bullied like in a city, it makes sense that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And also like I just love how opinionated people are.
Yeah.
Like you're not afraid to give people opinions.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really like how I think sometimes it's certain D&D games, sometimes it's certain like fantasy movies or books or media or whatever. It can kind of feel like the world is aligned for the main characters to go on their journey, and everything mm-hmm. is like helpful or
they meet
steering
the exact
them in the
right
correct,
people all the
correct
time.
Way. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I think here we're meeting people who clearly have their own lives, who can be a, you know, not a waste of a time to talk to, but like a waste of time as in like, the world is not always aligning to
not
put us on
to our main objective.
Yeah, yeah, it's not always putting us on the right path. We gotta find the fucking path, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what makes it feel really real and immersive, of like the world is not on our side. It's not not on our side,
mm-hmm.
but it's not it's like real life. It yeah. isn't we're just people within this city where other things are going on. And we've talked about that before, of like this world is alive and things are happening without us like being there to see it. And this feels like an extension of that.
There's yeah. a real mm-hmm. sense of atmosphere.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. I wanted like Meanie was probably one of the like most fun I had oh as a bartender. Because yeah. I
love
had
her.
I had this exact there's a bartender that works at the restaurant that I do. And I was like, this just Meanie seems just like her. Like I know exactly the vision. And I'm like, and as soon as we started like bouncing off back and forth, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is wonderful.
Dude, I'm gonna be so real. terrible player moment on my behalf. I forgot Meanie existed until you mentioned her the session prior. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, you talked to Meanie about this before. I went, Meanie. Oh, fuck. And then I immediately went back to like the first sheet I've ever written on SIG. And this is how old you know it is, because I still have Brian listed as Locke on the sheet.
Oh my god.
And I have him having opinions on the like Riker finding gnomes.
Yep.
But like SIG doesn't know that actually.
Yeah.
But like I got to like read back and then be like, oh, I'm still taking this character in the direction that I wanted to. It's just I forgot some things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what was really interesting with Meanie, I had an idea because I wanted to kind of like, I would still give you the agency to put her wherever you want to. But an idea that I had was that you would go to the normal bar that she goes to, found out that it's like closed or something like that, and you would find her in a different bar in Tolona. As like she works as a bartender there, or maybe picks up a different shift. Who knows? But I was really satisfied with how that interaction worked, especially with Nyssa coming in the background. And I want you guys to know, like, I completely said the cute one out of just like funniness, but it was just so funny that you guys reinforced that of just the drama, or not the drama, but like the.
I've had my suspicions.
Yes.
I think we all have had our suspicions.
So I thought it was just really funny to just tease.
I just waved to eat the cocktail. Little
dusty wave. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wave. So my next question to you guys is, what do you guys think about the magistrate?
fuck the magistrate. Fuck all the rules he makes. Fuck the collar.
I was really interested in the fact that he told Brian that he couldn't even read the contract.
Yeah, what the hell? What, you didn't have one written? Was that it? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, he used ChatGPT. No, <kidding. laughs>
He got me.
I'm intrigued by the fact he's a tiefling, but we're not allowed to say he's a tiefling, and tieflings have been, as far as we know, wiped off.
And also can change from a tiefling to a fire genasi.
Yeah.
Which could just be any kind of disguise magic. I kind of feel like he is a tiefling, but maybe not. Maybe not. But if he is a tiefling, which I kind of feel like he earns, then like, what are his motivations for doing what he's doing? And is there something that he's doing to like...
It's also really scary that the two demons we have are not a fan of the magistrate. The two very powerful demons that we have are afraid of this person.
This guy.
And I want to find out what that rock is. Ever since you mentioned it as some sort of magical energy, I'm like, I need to touch it.
Well, it seems like it's power source in some way.
Well, I think it's some sort of like abyssal situation, because there's all these things that were like, oh, this isn't anything like you've seen or experienced before. And we have this bit that Sig is thinking about with like the devils and the whatever. And I'm like, this guy's involved somehow.
Because
let me tell you, I don't like it. How did he get here? What's happening?
Especially when I mentioned that I was talking to Rathul. I wanted to like have a conversation with Rathul.
Mm-hmm.
But then like things kept happening. And I was like, you know what? It's not happening today. Yeah. And I wasn't mad about that. Especially because like... It makes sense for Sig to be like, yo, I need to talk to Rathul and figure this out. Mm-hmm. But then you get interrupted by being shot by a cannon. Makes sense for that not to like happen.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I was just curious on the theories. Because like, just to let you guys know, I'm just experimenting on how threatening I can make an NPC that you know the name of.
Mm, yeah.
I don't like him at all.
Yeah. Because you haven't met the BBG yet. So
he's getting real punchable. I'll let you
know. He's getting real punchable.
Oh, I know.
Bring it on.
You know what I did to that Kamuli?
I don't think I want to punch him.
I think there's not an improbability that he is far beyond anything that we actively know.
Well, he could be the champion of something too.
Oh,
that's another theory I have.
That's a good line of thinking.
Champion of big dumb idiot. Yay!
Yay! I also from from like my perspective, I know mm-hmm. some of the stuff that Nick is doing, but it's also very interesting to me to see how he's snaking you all around. Like I know some of the stuff he's doing. I don't know all of it, but like there's so much I don't know, but there's some things where I'm like, wow, he's really just trying to get us to like think and look at different things and like see if we could catch on in any circumstance of the word.
Yeah.
Like it's just fascinating to see how this is slowly taking shape in the way that you're taking it. Cause I know how excited you've been for this.
Yes.
And getting to see you navigate through, I mean, especially the blowout that you didn't expect. I was really proud as like, I've never seen you navigate through that. And it was really impressive to watch you do it.
Oh my God. No, like being the DM and then having to play a whole bunch of NPCs that are now going to be the mentor of people when you guys split off, me like, yeah, I'm going to talk to NPCs that I know, like mm-hmm. Alessio, Meanie, like, you know, just going crazy everywhere looking for some type of, or even an Elxador too, where it's just like, yeah, I need to be the someone who's going to try and not, I don't want to like railroad you guys, because mm-hmm. that's a challenge as a DM, where it's like all you guys split up and I'm like, Haven and I are like, yeah, when we were talking in the very beginning stages, we were like, hey, let's try and do something in the character requirements where it's like, what are motivations that you guys stay in the group? Because we're like, we don't want the party to separate, and this is a good idea. So then when we were just like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, and storms off, I look at Haven, I'm like, fuck me, I gotta, God damn it.
I just smiled.
Yeah.
I went, it's your, you get to deal with it. Yep. Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, there's a degree to which of like, We play these things because it's how our characters feel, but like ultimately we are real people controlling these fictional people, and yeah. I'm not gonna actually walk out of the table. I like this game, so yeah. Together, right. you and I, DM and oh, yeah. I, will find our way back, and that's yeah. the yeah. joy.
But no, you guys stink. All right, yeah, boy.
But I think it's a testament to how real the world feels that you feel like, okay, well, I don't have to stick with the convention of always being with the party.
I love feeling like I can leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds silly, yeah. but like, yeah.
I definitely think this is one of the only groups that has that ability, and to some extent, I have never met a lot of people that can handle that, and I'm very glad that all of us can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also really interesting because I love having the different groups, the little groups that go off, like. Mm. Like in Sig and Brian.
We are a holy trinity.
The criminals.
Yes. I think we're the best.
Yeah. You're the troublemakers.
We're great definitely, influences
definitely the
on
troublemakers.
Each other.
The least law-abiding group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love this, like, Leo and Elxador, Nissa, and Gael, where whenever we went to go visit the like House of the Solstice, I feel like this is like, okay, this is like the religious team, kind of something like that, where it's like we're
like more serious,
yeah,
minded, or I know what you mean,
yeah, not like
there's
we're
like
all,
a oh, like a like a sorry, I got it. A code and resolve that we all have in a degree,
yes, and there's like an understanding that we all and respect that we have for each other's different beliefs. Like for Elxador and Gael, we have that justice going for it. With
Leo
just and Gael, and then also like Nissa as well, like seeing this like magical presence. You know it to be warmth. You know it to, and Nissa knows it to be like someone's watching over your back. Mm-hmm. And then Leo, you're like, wow, that's some powerful magic.
My God, I forgot to ask. What do I feel when I'm in that room?
I was gonna ask about that, but I'm like,
guess
yeah, I guess it's not important.
Time. Yeah.
Rithul was like, it's a big rock.
It's a big rock. Big rock. Ooh, I sensed shiny. The big rock as well. That was very interesting to me. That yeah. you were like, you can feel the magic of the gem, and I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. It's a really big wonder yeah. what that means.
It was a really interesting role. There was a lot of things going through my mind, and especially of like, now I'll let you know, when I said roll that 1d4, it was, you know, Alessio, Toby, Mirin, and then Iago. And then once it was like Alessio, I'm like, okay, let's fucking go, Alessio.
I gave Nick like voice claims for each of my characters, and I fear I did give him Patrick Page for Alessio. I think you did a great fucking job.
Thank you.
You achieved that little bit of rumble that like makes his voice, and I was it was very cool. So great job with Toby as well. Like, you're on it. I was very happy with it.
Wonderful. I was really scared about Toby because I was like, ooh, this is kind of in the moment kind of thing, and I needed to refresh. I didn't fully refresh myself on the off chance.
I thought it was you hit the beats you needed to hit there.
Let's go.
So yeah.
And then also for you, Hell of a Boss fans, what was his name again?
Patrick Page. Patrick Page is in Hell of a Boss now. Yes.
And one of the, like, he has a deep voice.
It's crazy.
I was like, why? Nick, I'm so sorry, but this is my brain.
Who's he in Hell of a Boss?
Satan.
Oh. Yeah.
In season two.
He plays the King of Hell twice.
Yeah. Really? He's good at, well, he was the freaking Green Goblin in the Spider-Man musical.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know
it's
that.
It's true.
Why?
I don't know.
You do not need that voice for the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
There was a lot about the Spider-Man musical that maybe didn't need to happen, but that's beside the point.
I think it was the best choice.
They were thinking out of the web.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything they did.
And that's why that show ran on Broadway for so long and did and made
fantastic.
Millions of dollars.
That show was on fire. It wasn't looking grim at all.
But here's the thing.
You say grim?
It was very visible and it was quite elastic in the way that
God damn it.
Dude, that's fantastic for real.
The way that we have derailed this is incredible.
It was the thing everyone wanted to see.
Oh my God. All right, you nerds.
I'm sad.
So.
What?
He just randomly yelled Ben. Which one? The uncle or the thing?
I was thinking the more lively one.
Damn.
Okay.
The thing is immortal. Right.
Going back, there was a certain phrase that he said in Hell of a Boss that got me into the voice where it's like, and the way, like, his such a buttery, smooth, like, deep voice. But like he said, he's like, goetic demon, and like the way that he goes about that, that's like the voice that I got into. It's like, okay, repeat that a couple times, there's the volume.
That is a very good whistle.
And then also this was like what also helped me out is that this was another character voice that I had for a character Haven is familiar with, is my Dalskir voice.
I love Dalskir.
He was a dragonborn barbarian, but he's down there.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, I know where I'm at, and it was really fun to play him.
Hell yeah. Mm. It was great. I know. I love meeting my NPCs. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad you guys are meeting NPCs that you guys get to interact with.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go back to Sergeant Jenkins already.
I want to meet that man again. I want to see him in a different setting.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Bernardo's booty.
Can someone else in this world be nice? I mean, other people have been nice, but I feel like everyone's so interesting where it's like,
so many
you
ops.
Don't know who to trust. People got strong opinions. Sometimes people are friendly.
Yeah.
But like, again, it's that same thing of like, the world is not revolving around us, so not everyone's like an immediate ally.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're like neutral, they stay neutral unless we work for it.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just really fun giving you all these pieces to follow where it's like, okay, here's... Like I said in the very beginning, all of this takes place in Tolona, and I think you're starting to see why it all takes place in Tolona, because there's just so many things, so many locations, people to talk to.
So much to do, so much to see.
Yeah. But,
so much to explore.
But also, like,
visit
now...
Visit Tolona today.
Oh my goodness.
That should be our ad for the ad break.
Yeah. There you go. But now it's also like... Yeah. Oh, man.
Brought to you by Campaign Casters.
Yeah. But there's like this time limit to it now, because like, especially now with the magistrate, and yeah,
I thought that was really smart from a DM perspective. As soon as you said you have until the end of tomorrow, I was like, oh, we actually have to focus. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and going back to that magistrate point, How did you guys feel about seeing Riker with the collar on?
Really bad. Terrible. Bad.
And it's my fault. I feel so guilty.
Aww.
I think.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, but that song is kind of the fight that we had, if you think about it.
Yeah. I don't think Lycan admits it's her fault, but she just thinks the fact that bad things are happening, it is her fault, but that the reasons they're happening is stupid.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
She's just angry.
Yeah. And
she
it's
is angry.
You know, it's how could you know? You know?
How could you know the consequences would have been that horrendous?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's one of the themes that I want to go for, where it's this, you guys can try and get away with stuff for as much as you can, and I will have things prepared for that. Because whenever Brian, you took off the collar, did not see that coming. But then there was a really? Little, well, I knew it was a goal you were working towards, but I didn't know it was happening that soon, especially before meeting the magistrate. Yeah. So, because right afterwards, I was like, fuck. And I, in our Haven and I stuff, the Agoshian Watch have these magical spectacles.
Had that forever.
So I was like, as soon as they're right in the directorate, all the Agoshian Watch guards are right there. Of course they're going to see Brian sit with his thing inactive. So I'm like, fuck me. This is you're just putting through the ringer. These episodes.
Has Brian had rough. A good episode ever? You're no. just like,
yeah,
like,
for real.
No break.
You had two episodes where things were fine and hunky-dory, and then everything's just been downhill from there for you, hasn't it?
Yeah. And it feels great.
At least you get a cool sword, huh?
I don't know.
Just a slow turn. He's in his chair.
Yeah, really cool sword.
I want to get Brian back to his sister.
I also do.
Yeah, me too.
About Coral. Pearl.
I don't know who Coral is.
Pearl. But then he said Coral. That's another person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this too.
Coral in the heart shaped box.
It was a clam.
People?
It was a clam.
Yes.
There's two separate people.
There's two people.
That's what I was saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a clam.
So sister is Pearl.
Sister is
Coral is
someone else.
Lady lover.
Maybe.
Mother?
Yeah, I was like, Coral could be anyone's name.
Coral.
We don't need to assume gender.
Coral would be my fucking seahorse.
I know. I literally watched you instinctually say it, and I went, fuck.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then one of my more, final questions of everything that I wanted to get off my chest is with the mystery now at hand, what are your thoughts with everything that's been laid out? Who are you guys leaning towards?
I personally have no idea who it is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I really don't have a path.
I'm sure there were a lot of hints in the journal entries and stuff, but there was so much information.
I will put that in the Discord so you
that
guys
would
can
be
go
great.
Through it.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. The dwarves hate Orin for a reason, but the dwarves also have a ton of power.
It sounds like they hate him for
they
a good reason.
They don't seem to have power here. No, they don't have power here. But I don't know.
Also, at the same time, that would be so easy to set the dwarves up like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just a bunch of red herrings.
Obviously, they hate this guy, so they killed him.
No, I know.
Case closed.
there's no way that it's that simple. And I mean, there's this, the thing that keeps sticking in my mind is this idea of you can make a creature through conjuration magic. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe that's how I hope, because again, we have a time limit, that once we go to the Pillar of Dragorum, things will fall into place. And if they don't, we're fucked. And that's that.
I actually just randomly had a really interesting thought.
Yeah.
Because you said the dwarves would be too cut and clear. And then we have to find it. And I'm I didn't think Glacis was being weird or anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of sitting here and I'm like,
wait, like, what if Glacis actually has emotions and, like, cared so much that, like, Orin was doing this against the dwarves and is trying to hide it and, like, take information on the fact that, like, Leo is... Do you see what I mean? That's where I was kind of thinking about it.
Interesting.
Like, oh, yeah, so, sure it is.
So, like,
yeah.
Like what I was
just... You just thought of that now? Sure. Sure. Like, thanks, Haven, you solved it.
Like, I was just thinking that because I was like, right, I was like, what if he's taking, like, research information because he also has, like, emotions and they got lost out of control and he's trying to figure out how to control himself?
Ooh.
I thought that was an just a random thing.
Like him.
Any good, somewhat decent character I throw at you, you're just like... He's fucking suspicious.
What do you consider a good, decent
I was like...
Jenkins is the one I...
Thank fuck for Jenkins.
He was, Jenkins!
Please don't let him turn out to be anything
Bernardo
other than
was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bernardo's safe.
Bernardo's good. Yes. I know who it was.
And Meanie.
Meanie. Yeah, love our NPCs.
Yeah.
It was Barry.
He's Barry.
Barry.
Sorry, dude.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine this whole time Nick has been planning with Adam?
Yeah, it's Barry.
See, here's my funny. This is my little funny haha joke that I've been holding since his last time. When he described that there were two kinds of gashes in the body. That the one was like claws, and one was like a slice thing. I was like, It's death from Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yes.
Is there a pee on the body? Because I don't know. I just have this vision. We're talking about like wolf people, and I'm like, ah, yes. That's definitely who it is. And anyway, I just had to get that off my chest.
I think it's completely a false... Like, what if there is another person like Sig out there that's got this transformation ability? You know, that's...
You know how much that would hurt to have to put someone down like that, though?
Ooh, yeah.
Right, that's the point. That's the point. You see how Nick is salivating at that idea? That is what I'm concerned about.
Salivating?
I'm watching his drool hit the table.
Jesus, Nick. Okay. Get a napkin or something.
God. Okay.
We are clearly all so tired.
Yeah, the Minecraft potion drinking.
Grandma needs to go to bed.
It's the time of day.
Sipping from a straw.
Session
3,
another session
13,
right?
That's,
I'm down.
Yeah.
Our inability to stay on task is crazy. Is on topic is crazy. Y'all are going to have to edit the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Or it's just going to be chaos incarnate, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the vibe. Maybe it is. Maybe
it is. Poor Keegan and I. Yeah. Oh, but also, this is for listeners, this is a really special day for us because even though this will come out many weeks and afterwards.
A month fully after.
Yes. But today our documentary drops.
Yes, it does.
So yeah, full do you guys want to throw some opinions?
Go watch
and,
it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Cool. This is really well done.
Find you.
I know. I'm so excited to watch it.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about to see with that documentary is like we did these interviews and we had all these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we were such little fresh spring chickens back then, and now we're
spring chicken.
Thank you. We're 12 episodes in, and it's like, is everything that we said then? It's not that we don't stand by it. It's but it's like, what have we learned in that interim? Like, what did we think? And so I'm excited to like look back on us.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a really good idea. From like going off that idea. For everyone's character, even going back to the pre-campaign session, how do you feel about your character's growth?
Oh my God.
They've grown so much since pre-campaign. Are you kidding me?
We barely knew what was going on then, let me tell you.
How was that process of figuring out, okay, this is what this character lives and breathes to like, this is another day for this character and let's go into the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have something to say.
Yeah.
My plan with Brian originally was he was going to be like fucking miserable all the time.
I mean,
and well, yeah, but like,
but for
like,
different reasons.
But
yes.
like actively miserable, hate everything, not want to do anything, and just, you know, generally blah.
The rogue.
But yeah, but but I let too much of myself slip into yeah. him, and now that's kind of just like where he's at.
Yeah,
where he cracks jokes and he's a bit more friendly and blah 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 blah. But like originally he was gonna be like you know, like, dude, I don't want to fucking do that. Can we please do literally anything else? I don't want to be here. And that is not very fun.
We're gonna go solve the mystery.
Not very fun.
La, 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 la.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Arg, I don't want to do this.
Arg, I'm going to kill.
What's the
sorry,
arg?
I didn't mean to say that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very different from what my original plan was for him. And I think for the better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you created a really lovable character. Who maybe no, like really, because when someone's just like wants to go against the whole thing, even if you're not causing chaos, you're also like not contributing. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't have contributed in your own way, but I think the complexity of Brian's character that comes from like his desire to contribute even to something that is such coming from such a shit situation for him, and the fact that he's like can't help but build relationships, can't help too but, friendly. Like, want to do things is, I think it's really, really cool and really interesting. Mm. So props to you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I also, I mean, this is just a random side note because we were talking about Jake. I actually was thinking just now how interesting it is because almost everyone in this room got to see Jake play for his first time.
Mm-hmm. This
ever.
Is true.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so cool to get to see Jake at
so
like,
fast.
Yeah, like,
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
I mean, we
grow up.
We've passed like the year point.
Yeah. Well, and
since you started playing D&D.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
The amount of dice I have.
I know. The dice collection is almost rivaling mine.
Yeah. So that's just really, really interesting. Overall, I thought that was really cool. It's cool to see how far you've come with that.
Yeah, from the Spider-Man.
Like, no, that shit was awesome, though. Yeah. Like, it's just super interesting to see how much it's taken a pivot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually. Anyone else have character thoughts?
Leo was a completely different boy whenever I was made. Well, kind of completely different. His transformation came like crazy. This was before I even came to Casters was a thought. Originally, Leo was going to be a blue dragonborn.
No. Your very first concept was he was going to be a grung.
No, that was Log.
Oh,
really?
Remember?
No, but Lycan had always been there with
Lycan. Was originally going to be the character that he was going to make was going to be a like mushroom banjo bard who is a grung named Log.
Yes,
that's the name. That's how Log's actual name came to be for your little pet. Was off of the original idea of that.
That's awesome.
And then that log turned into one of my other characters that I put in the thing, which was like the water genasi who was going to originally be with you.
Got it. No, I remember.
And then Leo was a dragonborn before all of this. He was going to be a wild magic dragonborn who looks like super huge and bulky and buff, but he actually was the scaredest little dude ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Arcanic came in and I was like, this would be awesome if I could find a way to make his like body shift and change depending on his emotions. And I did with that. And then I basically merged that and the idea I had for originally Log, but I think it was like something Springseed. I think his name was Alivander Springseed or something.
Yeah.
Gallivander.
Yeah. And then I pushed them together and now Leo exists. Also, Leo's last name was originally going to be Leo Folderbunk, which is something else now. That last name is something else now, which you'll find out at some point.
Damn.
But Leo, yeah, Leo is my sweet little bean who has got way too much power, but also he's a silly boy. He went through so much in the creative process, but yeah.
Lycan was going to be a lot more introverted originally. Mm-hmm. And then I think part of it's just Sophia came out because I like need control / leadership typically. And that's like, that's how I run a table.
This
like,
is
I just,
true.
I need to like keep things flowing. But she was going to be so much shyer, and then she's just turned out to be so much more fiery, and I really like her.
She's a menace to society, and it's a delight.
She's going through fall right now.
Oh my god.
She's going through fall.
It's fun.
With Orange Dad.
Oh man, dude.
That was so funny.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that was a funny moment.
Sophia cares so much about social expectations, and Lycan does not. It's very freeing.
Yeah.
The whole interaction with the dad, with the muffin, and then explaining a period to him, I was like
bonkers.
Did you have something you wanted?
The thing, like, I think that was one of my favorite character moments was Lycan giving the muffin to Nyssa.
Oh, that was
awesome. Yes, yeah.
Because like that happened in the same session that everyone like crashed out. Like, so like it was like overshadowed.
Oh, so what a delightful little moment that was so
like,
overshadowed.
Nyssa was just like, wait, somebody actually like wants to give me something without something in return. Mm-hmm. And that like, and then like it full, like, it, and now like they're just not even talking to each other. And it's so fascinating in my brain with that.
Yeah.
It's whack.
Yeah. I have creative process things. I think Gael definitely evolved. Gael was very much inspired by a character that I played in a scene for my scene study class, who I was very attached to. Having done a lot of work on that character from a I think this will make a lot of sense. So this is a character from a play called Boy My Greatness, he's like a Puritan preacher in like the Shakespearean era, which gave, and I was very attached to the character work I did for that character whilst we were coming up with concepts. And so I was like, oh, I can like riff off of this, so I get to hold on to this like character that I'm enjoying, even though like this class is over and I have to let that go. And originally, Gael was going to be more like that, more always like pushing Carmos in your face and more like very strict and always reciting like the doctrines and everything. But I think their evolution has come the most from like how much they are impacted by their environment. Like I found it once I was like living in their brain space, I found it really hard to just like have that straight path and not be impacted by environment, because there was just so many factors. And like, I don't know, they became a lot more almost unstable than I ever planned them to be. Like they're not this like as this same like straight laced, resolute.
Yeah.
They're a lot more like a young person trying to like fucking figure out how to exist in the world as someone who's neurodivergent and sheltered and like,
I thought it was really interesting, especially in the conversation with Iago, about how he like recognized that like, yeah, change sucks, but then also in like learning about you, he was just like, well, you might hate change, but
you changed from tradition. I didn't even like, I was like, oh fuck, that happened. And let me tell you, that colored my thoughts.
Yeah, like having that realization where I was like, okay, well, like if you like have this idea where it's like this is the life that you grew up, and then you decided to have that like type of change to going to like being investigating and spreading the word of karma through there, because he has full faith in you. That's like, yeah, you are doing what Karmos may intend. I have faith in that.
Oh, and then, I don't know what to do with that guy, let me tell you.
Oh my God. And then, yeah, he's like, well, then here's like, change is constant. Here's like a fresh perspective. And I like having that realization and be like, oh, this is juicy.
Yeah. Oof.
Yes. I can't wait to dive more into Iago's philosophy. I'm just hoping all the players or characters are present for that. But we'll get there when we get there.
I will never not be mad about my first character that I loved so dearly, and you guys told me I couldn't do it because I had somehow sniped a storyline.
I can't
talk about it because I don't, from my knowledge, I don't think I've seen it yet, but like there's not a day I don't think about it.
Heath actually Heath almost nailed like main story plot lines, and we were like, oh, we can't have that character.
Yeah.
So mad about it.
We love Sig so much, though.
Yeah.
Don't even know, truly.
Sig was an insane pull, though.
He was a great pull.
Because
we had landed on like other options that were like some guy that was doing like gambling and was like,
lost out of his luck, and then some guy who's just like lost and looking for his wife, and then like some dude who had some like fucked up backstory. But I'm like, I didn't want to be the fucked up backstory guy. And then I was like, but if he's gonna have a fucked up backstory, he's gonna try and overcompensate in the other direction.
Yeah,
and not be the edgy guy in the corner. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
I think it's really funny how several of us I think have tried and failed to be the edgy guy in the corner, and then our real tendencies to like love each other came out a little bit too hard.
I'm very glad from the beginning that I didn't want to be edgy guy in the corner, because I've played that at a table once and I didn't enjoy it, and I was like, I can have the edgy guy backstory, but he's not going to be edgy guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not fun to play.
No,
because the whole point is to role play, and if you're like. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you can't talk, then you're not playing the game.
Yeah, yeah. I can't be edgy guy in the corner and then the joke about like... Sorry, I just had to beat Jake's ass.
Everyone listening just lost the game.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, listeners.
We don't condone that type of action. But like, you can't be the edgy guy that like jokes about freaking... What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Thanks, Jake.
Well, because humor is so often a coping mechanism.
Humor
anyway,
is such a great coping mechanism.
Yes. It makes sense.
Shout out humor.
Hopefully we can...
This is 12 p.m.
Like,
thoughts.
But
I need to go to sleep.
Well, like, legit, here, let me finish my point.
Damn.
It's like truly like I get the joke and have fun, and that's all I wanted at the end of the day. And then like he can have a sad backstory or whatever, and that can inform actions and things that he chooses to do. But like that's just like everyone has their past, and what you choose to do next is the fun part. Thanks, Adam.
I like that. Yeah.
Things
about mistakes.
I say things about mistakes, dude. Mm-hmm. I think about that every day.
Yeah, no, me too, Loki.
Jesus Christ.
I think about you every day, Adam.
Do we have? Are there Nissa and Elxador development things that we don't?
Do you want to go? You want
to go? Sure. Yeah. I mean, Elxador, he's kind of like, I know, for me. Very interesting, because I'd have to try and like level here with Haven a bit, because I'm still finding out my niche as a role player, because I love learning all about the lore, knowing everything about D&D, its monsters, the multiverse, everything that goes into it, and Brightwood was a knowledge domain cleric that I played, and I had an amazing time with him, but I never got to fully flesh out his story. And then I tried a hand at being kind of that edgy person with the backstory.
Happens to everyone.
And she was like this
the number one?
Yes, 374. Mm-hmm. And she was like this really like energetic person who always wanted to like try and challenge someone to like games or prove herself that she's better or something, but also had that like deep undertone of like I want revenge, and that was like I absolutely loved playing her. She's one of my favorite characters. I'm gonna write a book for her one day. It is on my to-do list.
Yes, it is on his to-do list.
Yeah, and my 2025 bingo card. And who knows where that's gonna go. Yay. I told myself 3 chapters is what I'm gonna do.
hell yeah.
And now with Elxador, I kind of want to combine both of those aspects and really just hone in on who I am as a person. And like, I wanted to go for that, like dad of the group, where it's like that protector vibe. Cause I love combat. So like Dalskir, one of my other players, he was a barbarian. So I love just being a big tank and just doing insane amounts of damage, but also having that like nuance to him, where it's like, he's like this good person. And he just cares a lot about people, and having that idea was very scary going into, because having to do that with a, you know, cast of 6 other players was really interesting to see how, like, if I was able to interject myself in enough where I could start to have that vibe and now seeing where Elxador is, like, I love him. He's perfectly where I want him to be. And for all the moments that I can speak up for him and really just have that connection building like he has with Gael Nissen, building up with Sig, and he wants to slowly build up to you, and especially to Brian for that little party we went to.
That was nice. That was very nice.
Actually, so lovely, because after everything fell apart, just this one, this moment of extending an olive branch of like, we are so on opposite sides of this. You're struggling. Let's go out for drinks. It was so like,
yeah.
And I
think that was like dad moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that, it felt really natural because I was like, absolutely, man, what the hell is Elksdor? Like, who does he go to? Because he's like, I don't want the band to split up. And like, everyone's going on their own thing. Together. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, Gale's definitely up there, but like, they need their own space right now. And I'm just like, you know what, Brian? I've had the worst luck in trying, you know, like, we're polar opposites. So yeah. I'm like, you know what? Let's see what happens. And I'm not going to force my hand, and I don't want him to force his. And we're just going to be two people that night.
And I think the father thing is really real. Like, Lycan asked you for advice. Yeah. The apologizing thing. You know, I don't know. I think you've developed that really nicely.
Yeah.
Dad.
I'm trying to get Sig to a place where he can be kind of big brother adjacent.
I feel it coming, truly.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Like the we'll still do stupid stuff with you, but we'll also beat your ass.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to use medium when I was like, because I knew that's where I wanted Elksdor to be, but I'm just like, from all the interaction that we've played throughout all these 12 episodes, I'm like, you're also an anchor too. Like, we're the bros.
Yeah, bros.
And then
bros.
Gail and I in the corner,
fucking fighting.
Not touching you. Guys, stop.
And I'm blowing up the city.
Leo's
stressed. Right as dad. This is like
the blowout diapers.
Fed up. I know. Yeah. But also like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you said the thing about the edgy guy in the corner. This is the closest I have drawn towards that edge. And I love Nissa, and I'm really happy with the direction I'm taking them in. Mm-hmm. But I do not like where they were at. And because I was like, dear God, this is insanely quiet. Like, because I honestly felt, coming from a DM perspective, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk too much. Mm-hmm. So I literally just kind of like sat there and I was like, yeah, guys. Mm, yeah. Just from like over here. And then I was like, something's got to change or else I'm not going to be happy with this character for a while. And that was something I wanted to work towards in these two episodes was like, small.
When the transition happened for you between you and Nick, it was like, oh, wait, Nissa's here.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yes.
And, I mean, you have the power to sink that time in now, and I think what we're seeing coming out is really exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more of it.
Yeah. I think the most character defining moment from like the beginning to now is like Nissa was in the pretest episodes basically just an NPC.
Oh yeah.
Let me pull in this person. Let me pull in this person.
Let me go do this thing.
Yeah, this thing for you guys so you can go take exactly. So that's kind of what I use Nissa as. And now that I've gone from that to Nissa being in the same bar as Sig, literally listening to their conversation without Sig picking up on the fact that Nissa was there.
And having to deal with being called sexy.
Both of those moments made Nissa very human for me.
Yeah.
And also something that really helped was I pulled up my notes of Nissa today. And I was reading like the three, we required all of us to have three fun facts about their character. And one of mine is that whenever Nyssa gets anxious, they chew on their arrowheads.
I know, I started seeing that. I was like, oh, I love this.
And I was like, God, why did I forget that very character defining like thing that I had created before? Because like that is the key of what I thought Nyssa to be, with like sleeping on top of Annika all the time, like having chewing down on those different things. And there's one more that I haven't yet dug into, but like it is, I was like, that feels so small yet so important to this character, to make them feel like I can actually do a little bit more with them. So I really enjoyed that part.
I think it was really, it's really cool to see that as you're now a player, so you get to like fully just immerse yourself in that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, gang, do you think we recovered?
Yes. Yeah.
Recovered well?
And now it's time for a nap.
Yes. It's time for bed.
How about
time to take
sleep?
A long rest.
What do you guys mean? I'm ready for the next episode.
Yeah!
So late.
Oh,
so late.
I love you.
Oh my god,
I
can't do the yippee. It's so late. I can't do it. It's too late. My voice isn't going that high right now. I can't do it.
Oh my god, no. I feel like I'm talking so low. Like, I'm hitting notes.
Yeah.
Like, I could probably
our voices
hit
are tired. Our voices are tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine. I can't do it.
What?
Yeah.
It sounded so short.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Okay. Well, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Oh, stay warm. Stay safe. Stay dry, and stay away from torrential downpours. They'll get you sick.
Looking at the weather forecast?
Brr.
Yeah.
Be careful adventuring, because if you're tired, come back home.
Come back home.
You guys.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Be careful adventuring. If you're tired, come back home.
Thank you.